Can you remind us what you are best known for?
Well, I'm best known for finding the Titanic.
There is no more famous shipwreck in the world, and the discovery of the Titanic in the Atlantic off the coast of Canada.
Historians have waited nearly three quarters of a century to see.
Just the Titanic, you know, nothing, no big deal. Just like an afternoon of work.
Well, you know, it wasn't a discovery. It was lost and found.
The expedition's director, Robert Ballard, described the images.
Robert Ballard,
call me Bob,
is an oceanographer. He found the Titanic back in 1985. And since then, he's spent his career exploring a place most of us don't give much thought to, the ocean. The 72% of our planet that is covered in water, and most of it completely unexplored.
There's a lot down there, and there's a lot we don't know that's down there. You know, there's bigger mountain ranges underwater than above water. There's canyons down there that make the Grand Canyon look like a ditch. And there's thousands and thousands of volcanoes, and there's more history in the deep sea than all the museums of the world combined.
In fact, the greatest mountain range on Earth lies below the ocean's surface. It's called the Mid-Ocean Ridge. And as Bob Ballard explained from the TED stage, we've known about it for a long time.
But no one had actually gone down into the actual site of boundary of creation, as we call it, into the Rift Valley, till a group of seven of us crawled in our little submarines in the summer of 1973, 1974, and were the first human beings to enter the Great Rift Valley. Almost a quarter of our planet is a single mountain range, and we didn't enter it until after Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin went to the moon. So we went to the moon, played golf up there, before we went to the largest feature on our own planet. We went down into the Rift Valley, and it's pitch black. It's absolutely pitch black because photons cannot reach the average depth of the ocean, which is 12,000 feet. Most of our planet does not feel the warmth of the sun. Most of our planet is in eternal darkness. And for that reason, you do not have photosynthesis in the deep sea. And with the absence of photosynthesis, you have no plant life, and as a result, you have very little animal life living in this underworld, or so we thought. We discovered a profusion of life in a world that it should not exist. Giant tube worms, 10 feet tall. I remember having to use vodka, my own vodka, to pickle it because we don't carry formaldehyde. We went and found these incredible clam beds sitting on the barren rock, large clams. And when we opened them, they didn't look like a clam. And when we cut them open, they didn't have the anatomy of a clam. No mouth, no gut, no digestive system. Their bodies had been totally taken over by another organism, a bacterium, that had figured out how to replicate photosynthesis in the dark through a process we now call chemosynthesis. None of it in our textbooks.
Bob Ballard, coming up, his plan to fill those textbooks faster than we ever have before. That's in just a minute. I'm Guy Raz, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Guy Raz. And on the show today, hidden ideas about how things we can't see are sometimes right in front of us or even shaping our behavior. And before the break, we were hearing from ocean explorer Robert Ballard, who's found giant worms, massive clams taken over by parasites, new life forms that we had never seen before, and, oh yeah, the Titanic. So what else do you think is down there?
I don't know. I didn't know there were 13-foot worms that had new life forms, that had another creature in their body that had taken over their body and was inhaling poisonous hydrogen sulfide. Who would have ever dreamed that? And the most horrible science fiction movie in the world would have never done that to a worm. And yet it's real.
Does it drive you crazy to think that there are all these hidden things that are yet to be discovered and that—
Yeah. I mean, I never grew up. See, I used to always look under rocks for salamanders and— You know, I love discovering things. The human being, imagine, okay, you open your eyes and you're in a room, okay? Do that right now. You're going to close your eyes and then you open them, and there's a door. How fast are you going to go to that door?
Fast.
Fast.
Really fast, yeah.
That's us. We want to know what's on the other side of the door.
Right.
It's Alice's looking glass.
Yeah.
It's we're programmed to want to know what's on the other side of that door.
But for ocean explorers like Bob Ballard, that door is miles away, straight down at the bottom of the ocean.
You can only go up and down so fast, so you spend all your time up and downing.
Which means for the 25 years he's spent exploring the ocean with a submarine, Bob has spent a lot of that time just getting to the places he's trying to learn about.
Well, imagine a day at the office, okay? 6 hours to commute to work, 6 hours to get home. How long are you going to stay at work? Like minutes, okay? And you still had a 12-hour day. That's why I'm trying to accelerate it.
So the best way to accelerate the time it takes to get to the bottom of the ocean is not to go at all, but instead to send robots.
What are called UUVs or AUVs, autonomous vehicle systems.
That don't have to come up and down all the time, but that can spend days, even weeks, underwater.
That's what's going to be the force multiplier. That's what's going to accelerate everything. When we just build these massive numbers of swarms of vehicle systems that are swarming under the ocean. And that's soon.
So you can sit in a lab in Rhode Island or Connecticut or sub-Saharan Africa, wherever you are, and you can work with this underwater robot and explore the ocean.
Yeah, I can put it on my cell phone.
And last year, one of Bob Ballard's robots, called Hercules, was off the coast of Louisiana in the Gulf of Mexico when something amazing happened.
So we're down in the Gulf of Mexico, and we're doing this thing.
We're going to take a super sample at all of those holes.
Your help getting it in position.
And then an adolescent sperm whale comes in at a couple thousand feet.
Yes.
And
the heck is that?
Says hello.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness, what is that?
Guys, oh,
look at
guys,
it.
Guys,
oh.
We have a humpback whale.
We need to
listen to how we transformed into children.
I'm gonna turn the M3 off.
In a nanosecond.
He's gonna bump you.
No, he's bumping
us.
No,
we have a sperm whale
underneath me. It's okay. Zoom out on our
Start counting wows.
Awesome.
Oh wow. I hope we are screen grabbing.
How often you hear a sign that go, wow.
As far as I can go.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Gorgeous. Holy cow.
Wow.
And so where were you guys while this was all happening?
I was in my house when it happened.
Oh.
Watching.
You're in your house, and this robot is like hundreds of miles away from you.
Thousands of miles away from me.
And that's kind of the idea, that a group of scientists thousands of miles away can feel like they're there in a world hidden from view. And with more and more robots exploring the ocean, Bob Ballard says it might not be hidden much longer.
I mean, I envy the generation in middle school right now. I'm going to be eclipsed by some kid in eighth grade that's going to have the technologies to do 1,000 times more exploration than I've been able to do because of the advent of new technologies where they don't have to physically do it. They can move at amazing speeds. And now with autonomous vehicles, underwater drones just really pouring into the ocean now, you're going to see the rate of discovery in the ocean skyrocket.
Robert Ballard, he's an ocean explorer. You can see his entire talk at TED.com.